Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Grid Gas Bags. You're here with Eleanor and
Katrina. We are post Japan. Once again, I'm actually going to put a spoiler on this whole episode. If you haven't watched it, I thoroughly recommend you actually watching the entire thing because, yes, if you don't want spoilers, listen like in an hour's time, 4 hours time, but we're talking post Suzuka and we very luckily were able to watch it live.
But hold on, I don't know how anyone in Europe does this. Every weekend, every second weekend.
Yeah.
Your whole weekend's gone.
I know, and the thing is like...
The whole weekend is gone.
I wish
I was over-exaggerating, but we weren't.
No, all of F1 Tumblr was like, oh, I have to wake up to watch the race. Oh, I'm trying to stay awake to watch the race. Whereas like we started watching like all the driver's parade. It was 11 a.m. for us. So the race started at 1 p.m. where we are. And it literally was a whole day. It was 11 a.m. till like 5:30. And we went for a walk because we got bored the second the race finished. Came back and then continued watching for another hour and a half. But the thing is...
Did it really start at 1 p.m.?
I think we've complained quite early on that...
No, this isn't complaining.
No. I think we complained quite early on watching this year that, oh, we're tired for Monday. But I take it back.
Sorry, pardon me, burping in the microphone. Move the microphone away. I'm not editing that out.
We just...
I feel like you're going to hit
half a bottle of wine, but... Yeah,
No, we didn't. We drank at a relatively fast pace. Was the wine mixed with ice and lemonade?
Yes, it was. Did we make ourselves a shandy? Yeah.
Is it technically flavoured lemonade?
Technically, yes. So we watched the race live and I take back every single complaint that Eleanor and myself did at the beginning of the year. Oh, we're so tired for waking up for work on Monday. I take it back. I would rather watch the races every single Sunday night because I have my whole day. I can do things Friday night, come home. FP1 starts at effectively 10 p.m. here. Perfect. I can do things all day Saturday. Saturday night, don't feel like going out. Perfect. I can pop on the F1. Or if I don't feel like watching it because I've gone out, I can watch it Sunday morning and I can get it out of the way before 9 a.m. But having it on during your actual daylight hours, no thanks. Although, mind you, I've just praised having things in this time zone for like the past three episodes. I think I could do it. I'm totally a hypocrite. Let's be honest about it.
No, you're only here for Singapore.
Yeah, so to be honest, I'm here for Singapore, which is Singapore's at 10 p.m. anyways. And the thing is I think I could do it for like three races, which is what we have next year. We have Australia, we have China, and we have Japan.
No, Japan's not after China.
They're the only three that we have in our like relatively similar time zone. Singapore, but it's at night.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which means we don't have to I don't like saying waste. But it really is wasting your whole weekend in front of the TV. I get so itchy and fidgety. You can't do anything. So you know what, Europeans? You can have your lunchtime races. I want the evenings again.
The best thing was, so long story short, we watched the driver's parade.
Long story.
However long this podcast is going to go. I'm going to go into exceptional detail because it's a very important podcast.
About an hour because you're expecting a call in an hour's time. We got an hour to talk.
Yes, or...
Go through it, Eleanor. Speak quick.
My editing skills are going to have to be put to the test and we're going to have to resume. Anyway.
True.
So, driver's parade. Nothing really to comment apart from the fact that you could tell that it was bloody freezing.
You don't want to talk about the Lewis bit at the beginning? Hold
on. The wind chill was very cold. Everyone looked like they were having a horrible time. But mind you, that's happening. And what did we talk about last episode? How everyone's eyes on Gasly. Well, everyone's eyes definitely were on Gasly because everyone had these really cool old cars. What does Gasly get? A tiny little Fiat.
One more thing while we're talking about Gasly.
Tiny Fiat.
He was in a miniature car. Like one of those cars where he shoved 17 clowns in out of the Simpsons. Yeah. Not just that. There is a clip of him driving around in that miniature car.
He has
pulled his hood over his head. He's pulled up the front of his raincoat effectively up to underneath his eyes. He's tightening a drawstring. So here he is trying to block the wind and the rain out of his protection from the car. Because his car doesn't even have doors.
It's like he's running at 40 k's per hour.
It's very, very funny.
So that's that. But then we were like, oh, we've never really watched the Drivers' Parade live before. Is it really worth watching? Yes, it was. For Lewis and Lewis Hamilton alone.
Oh, no, I want to talk about Carlos for one thing in the parade, but
I have no idea what you're going to talk about with Carlos. Anyway, so we watch the driver's parade and then you see Lewis Hamilton, he's got one AirPod in his ear, he's got his phone in his hand and he clearly doesn't want to be talked to. A reporter comes up and talks to him and he doesn't respond to the reporter straight away. He's like, I've been telling the FIA that they should bring electric cars because he walks into a big fume of like the dust, nope, exhaust. Not dust, exhaust from like the old cars. And if you've ever been stuck behind an old car, man, if you're not a petrol head, it's not the most pleasant smell.
But to be honest, even if you are a petrol head, it smells dusty and burnt.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. And so like the look on Lewis's face was one of disdain, but also like, ugh, I don't want to be here.
Again.
Anyway, here he was. He could tell he didn't want to be there. He had one AirPod in. He was singing along to his songs, just waving, but he didn't want to be there. You could tell from his face he didn't want
to
be there.
And so every time the camera cut to him, he had that expression on the entire drive. He didn't get better. Same expression.
But I love Lewis Hamilton because if something's gone not his way, he lets people know. And you know what? He held it together during the interview. But when he was stuck on that car going around in circle in the freezing cold, mm-hmm. yeah, I would have been like that too.
One thing additional for the driver's parade is, yeah, they get people to like to stop and talk. Like they got the AlphaTauri Red Bull guys to talk to the crowd. However, there was a clip that surfaced on my Tumblr last night, or maybe it was this morning, one of them. And it was a screenshot of Carlos getting out of the car. Bless his cotton socks. He had taken his shoes off, put them on the floor so he could sit on like the back of the seat, and his feet were on the bit where you would typically sit on. Mm-hmm. Had taken his shoes off, put them on the floor so he wouldn't get his shoes on the car. And that's really respectful. And or does he own vintage cars himself, which means if this was my own car, I wouldn't want someone's feet on the seat base.
Do you remember what he said? He was like, I'll never drive a historic like,
yeah, he said
car.
He would never want to do it. I don't blame him. So I would never want to.
Because he'll never drive it, maybe he just shows a certain level of respect, being like, hey, this is someone's jam. Let them go with it. If they don't want shoes on the leather on the seats, yeah, I'll take my shoes off.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to – I don't think I could and or probably would never want to drive in an F1 car. I get very, very, very badly motion sick.
It's absolutely hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
Oh, it is absolutely
I've made myself
hilarious.
Throw up from laying on a surfboard before. Like, my motion sickness is like – peak awful.
It's no, but it's actually hilarious. Boat, train, car, sometimes
airplane, just sitting still sometimes.
No, sometimes like sitting down watching the F1 and they do the wrong camera shot. Katrina's like, oh, I feel ill.
But you know, go great.
The best bit is that sometimes she's walking along and I'm walking at a different pace than her.
And I see Eleanor's head bobbing.
My head bopping up and down. Katrina's like,
I'm like, Eleanor, slow down, go next to me. Anyway, so like one, I could never do it because I get so badly motion sick. Two, like the smells of the cars would literally send me over the edge and I would throw up in my helmet, which would not be
hilarious.
Pleasant.
I maintain hilarious.
I think I'd probably do it once, be like, yeah, my body
quit.
Says no.
Why are you quitting? You're a really good driver. Nope, I quit.
There's a general sentiment that like Eleanor and I have in dialogue. It's like, oh, like, don't you like eating that food? No. I love eating that type of food. That food does not like me. So I reckon I would
garlic.
Love doing the whole driving thing, but my body goes, no.
F1 is your garlic.
F1 is my garlic. F1 is my onion.
My onions.
And there was an interview that came out when they were doing like the Monaco historic car races, and Carlos was like, yeah, I have no interest in doing it because it's dangerous. When you think about it, it's like going on a roller coaster with not like an actual harness, but just a single seatbelt that sits around your hips.
Nope. I'll gladly watch from the sidelines. Nope. That's not me. That does not sound like fun. Does not sound like adrenaline. Anyway,
it wouldn't even be adrenaline because you'd get sick from the smells. But that's a different point. So that's the driver's parade.
Anything from the driver's parade? Nah.
To be honest, the fact that
Yuki kind of refused to speak in English. He only really speaks.
Yeah, good
Japanese.
On him. He's in a Japanese race. He speaks Japanese as his first language. He knows that the crowd would also mostly speak Japanese as their first language, so he should speak in Japanese. Like
it was just nice. It was nice to hear.
Yeah, it was good. I don't think there's anything else that you and I really paid attention to.
Okay,
we clicked off for a bit.
It was pissing down with rain. Can I say that?
Yeah, too late. Go ahead.
It was bucketing down with rain.
Nah, drizzling, spitting.
It was drizzling, and then it started pissing down with rain.
Heavy drizzle.
Heavy drizzle. And so the race took off. Max had a really bad start.
There was no delay this time. So they
delayed had a good start.
They delayed the free practice session because of the rain. They did not delay the start of the actual race. That's important to note.
Yeah. So Charles had a better start. Max didn't have a great start, but based on where Max was on the starting grid and how the driving lines worked out, Max,
drainage.
I'm not going to explain about drainage, but if you have any doubt about the importance of drainage on a track,
Eleanor's right.
Watch this track and last track and the two races and tell me that drainage isn't important.
And watch the entire race as well, and then you will understand why road engineering, not car engineering, engineering of, you know, like sub base and compaction and all that is actually really important.
Yeah, exactly. So Verstappen, pole position, not a great start, but still a good start. Charles, second, great.
Good enough to keep him
great at the front. Start, but good enough to push Verstappen, but not good enough to get the advantage based on the driver's line was better on the left-hand side in correct. The wet. So
all odd number people had a better start.
Sucks to be Charles. But anyway, he kept up. And then Sainz had a really
No, before we get up there.
Start.
The start. First of all, they get around the first, second corner.
No,
Vettel.
I'm not even talking about the first, second corner. I'm talking about like the start, like getting off the thing.
Oh, okay.
So Sainz has a really bad start, but Perez has a better start. Perez kind of overtakes Sainz at that point, as well as Hamilton getting a good start, fighting off Ocon. Ocon getting a great start.
Vettel gets an amazing start.
Vettel gets an amazing start. I'm not the biggest fan of Stroll, but I don't know how. He went from like 18th through to 10th. He was just like, you know what? I'm going to go on the right-hand side of the track where all the water is, where those running rivers are.
And it seemed to work.
He cut up the side. He managed to gain 8 places.
And it did it really easy. It looked really easily. Like no one wanted to go right.
I'm sure it wasn't easy.
I'm sure it wasn't easy, but it looked like, you know how typically when they show overtakes, people have to dodge? He didn't have to dip, dodge, duck, dive and
dodge.
At all.
Okay, so that's all I can remember. I can remember Stroll's start. I don't think Vettel had a great start because Vettel was pushed off the side.
No,
and then he spun.
No, he went to the left to get out of all of the spray that was coming up from the cars at the beginning. So we're not even at the first corner. Vettel gets
this
a really good
start. This is like the first 2 seconds.
Yeah, Vettel gets a really, really good start. Goes down, having a ball. He's wiggling around. You can really tell that he's not sticking to the ground at all.
But he loves Suzuka.
And then he just spins off. So he goes from 6th.
Oh, you mean wiggling around as in like he's lost traction. I thought you meant like, yeah, he's excited.
No. So he goes from 6th down to 18th. He spins out. He hits Alonso, goes into the gravel, comes back. This is not even at the first corner.
No, this is like maybe 10 seconds in.
If anything, he's actually really lucky that he got where he was.
I don't remember how Norris went. I don't remember how
Norris
Ricciardo
jumped
went.
Back. He went from like 10th down to like 17th. Ricciardo went up like 4.
Went. Gasly started from the pit lane. Actually, that's something we didn't find out until the race
they changed
start.
His
Gasly
rear wing.
Started from the pit lane. I don't know what else happened. Anyway, so they're driving along. Vettel spun out. Vettel's joined
before
at the back
the first
of the grid.
Corner. Yep.
Before the first corner, they drive along for a little bit. Visibility is horrendous. Like it is like
us
trying.
Us watching, let alone not even having the drivers on boards or the cameras, just looking.
No. Imagine you're swimming with goggles and for some reason you've decided to sneeze in your goggles to try to think that the fog won't help. But anyway, from you sneezing and breathing in the goggles, it's made it worse. And as you're swimming, more and more water comes in and your visibility gets worse and worse. That's what it was like driving.
Well,
I suspect.
It literally could just be like swimming with your eyes open in the ocean on a not clear day.
Some people may have never swam in the ocean.
Some people may not. You know what goggles are?
Water glasses.
How else do I explain what goggles are?
Water hats for your eyes? I don't know.
Yeah, or if we've got any female listeners on here. Now imagine crying, getting mascara in your eyes, and instead of like rubbing your eyes to get the mascara out, you somehow smudge the mascara into your eyes. I reckon that's what it would have been
no,
like.
No, this is what everyone knows.
No, hold on. They shampoo can't see Eleanor, and I can't drive. Could you imagine me in there? I'd have one look and I'd be like, I quit.
I put on the brake.
I'm leaving.
But talk about
reason for retirement. Throwing up.
Talk about putting on the brakes. So essentially the visibility was bad, really, really bad. It was worse than Singapore.
There's an interview.
But they should have stopped the race.
Correct. There's an interview at the end of the race. And
jump ahead.
No, I'm talking about
talked about the big thing.
Oh, no. At the end of the race, they talk about the drivers being like, oh, how did you find da, da, da. Mick Schumacher gets a specific question about the start of the race.
How did he go on the start?
No. And the guy asking him was like, oh, how did you find the start of the race? Like, what was visibility like? And Mick's response was, have you ever tried driving with a blindfold? And the driver and the guy was like, no, I haven't. He goes, it was like that.
See, there you go. My murky goggles isn't a bad analogy.
Yeah, it's just a good just drive with your eyes closed.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so they're driving along. Everyone seems to be fine. Vettel spun out.
Seems to be fine.
Yeah. Hear me out. Optimism. World of optimism. Kill people with kindness and optimism. So they're driving along and then all of a sudden signs, aquaplanes. Oh. It's not even – watching it, it's not even that bad, but it's hearing the fact that he is trying to turn the corner. I don't even know what turn it was. Turn 13?
I think it was 12, they 12, said.
13,
yeah.
14? One of the teens.
He went out of the way because he couldn't see because of all of the water kicking up from Perez's car.
Yeah, so he was driving along and then he tries to turn the car aquaplanes. You can see he's trying to get control of the wheel. His head's bobbing around like a little boggle toy.
Screeches.
And then the tires screech. Imagine like the goosebumps you feel when Charles yelled no at Paul Ricard. Yeah. It's that. Anyway, so he spins, crashes.
The car lifts up the right wheel. The front right goes up and then you can see it gets shoved back down.
Yeah, but the back of the car goes into the wall, and then the advertising wall.
And then pushes back out again from the force.
Yeah, pushes back out, and then by pushing back out, there is some advertising, some Rolex advertising that's been broken away from obviously the back of the car hitting the wall. And then there's this I'm going to say maybe a meter and a half.
Yeah, a meter and a half long, to 2 meters length, 2 meters about length,
a meter to a meter and a half high, yeah. Rolex advertising that's now on the track. And so at this point, Carlos was racing fourth. There was a really close battle between fifth and sixth, Hamilton and Ocon driving past.
No, it was and Alonso, wasn't it?
No, because Alonso was near Vettel.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah, so Hamilton and Ocon. And so at this point, this all happens maybe within the span of a second or two seconds. So Carlos is – the back of his car's hit the back. He's then been pushed back into kind of not the center of the grid, but because Suzuka's such a tight track.
I would say the front of his wing is effectively in the center.
Yeah, front of his
body would be on the track and so in the position of the car.
You've just heard this screech and then you just see his head and – like his head and his body essentially push back into the seat.
Try to go back as much as he can.
Try to get as far away from the track as possible. And as you're seeing this, you see a car drive past. It looks relatively close, but not like close enough to be concerned, which you know is Hamilton because of the color. It's clearly not blue. It's like a silvery
and they're the only aqua color. Ones this year.
They cut from Carlos's webcam. They cut from Carlos's dash cam and then they jump to Pierre's dash cam. Anyway, Pierre has pitted. Pierre's done one lap. He's gone back in.
No, when he passed Carlos picks up the advertising that gets flipped off of the back of the tire wall.
Because Pierre was last coming from the pit lane, he got hit with the advertising and you hear his radio. He's just like,
what the fuck? Like, I can't hear anything. I can't see anything because it's flipped up all over his wing and up. It's resting on the front portion of the halo.
So keep this in mind. Every other driver's Every other driver's gone past Carlos at this stage. Pierre's come past and picked up that piece of advertising. They go around the whole lap. Carlos is still in the car at this time.
Yep. I'm going to add in a point.
Everybody
at this point
goes. Everyone continues around the track.
The safety car gets called out.
Pierre continues around the track with this piece of advertising in, and because he's got this piece of advertising in, he can't see. Pierre then comes into the pit lane to get rid of the advertising, changes front wing while everybody else remains out on track.
At this point, the safety car has been called.
Double yellow flags.
First of all, single yellow and then double yellow flags. There's a whole thing on Tumblr about how they called the wrong flags at the wrong time. That's a conversation for another day because I didn't read the actual thing properly. Bless you. Thank you. Once again, do not scull lemonade before you do a podcast. So if you get some random pauses, that's Eleanor and I trying to breathe.
Well, that and I don't really know how to edit it out because I tried the one time I got a package, I tried editing it out and then I really ruined it. So,
I figured that out. So the safety car has been called at this point. Carlos is still in the car. This didn't happen live. This was released later. They released the camera that was on the top of his car and you can see him.
Car.
Yeah. You can see him get out of his car, takes off all like the foam insulation near his shoulders, takes it out. And he's standing there on the side and he's looking to the right and you can see that he's listening and he starts to walk across the track to get to the actual marshal side because where his car has crashed is not in the accessible portion. He needs to cross over to the right-hand side of the track to leave. And you can see that he's walking and you can see he randomly just starts running across, gets to the other side of the car, out of the other side of the grass, past the track, and a car goes past.
How close? How close?
If he had walked, the rest of it would have been hit.
Wow.
Anyway, so Carlos is now left out of the car, goes into the side. While the safety car is coming through, a marshal has been deployed and has tied, I'm going to say rope, but it's not called a rope and it's not called a zip tie. What's it called? Like, you know those things that you put on the back of a ute?
Castanets.
No. You know those things that you, like, put, it's like a work version of a cable tie. It's like a seatbelt material and you put it on, like, the back of you to strap down
the
toe bar things? No, like the pieces of thing that you, like, crank to tighten down.
Oh, the belt. Belt suspension thing.
Yeah, it's something like that. And the marshals, like, tied that around the front wing of Carlos's Ferrari.
And, like, a weird little bonnet thing that looks like a hat to protect
this.
So instead of having the pointiness of the wing, imagine, like, putting, like, the cap on your, like, toothpaste.
Yeah.
To protect.
Or, like, your
top.
Lip balm lid. And the marshals tie this thing around the wing and is pivoting the car to the left so that the car is no longer on the actual track, so it's just on the grass. Anyway, so Carlos has crossed, saw that a car's come past. Marshall goes to get this cable and then tries to pull the thing, and then another car goes past. There was a person on the track as well. So that's two things that are, no people were hurt in this, but that's two things already.
But also, before we go to the next part of the story, at this point you can see people are coming, like they're showing back replays of other people's
stuff.
Halo cameras about driving past Carlos. No one knows that he's crashed. No one sees that he's crashed. And why I say that is that Lewis Hamilton was maybe 30 centimeters away from the car. And yeah. Because the visibility was that bad, he only knew that he was 30-ish centimeters away from the car because you would have felt the wind drive past.
So we've got the safety car. Everyone's
following behind the safety car. Apart from Pierre Gasly, who's just left the pit lane with the advertising taken off of his car.
Yep. So the safety car comes out, starting to go around. Everyone has double yellow flags. It's double yellows while the safety car is out.
It's not red flags.
It is not red flags. So everyone goes past where Carlos's car is, apart from Pierre. Half a second before Pierre hits the location of where Carlos's car is on the left-hand side, he gets the red flag. At this point, he's already going 250 k's an hour because that's within his delta for his yellow flag. However, as he goes past Carlos's car, he sees that there is a tractor on the left-hand side in order to remove Carlos's car from track. He is absolutely fuming. Like, he blasts the engineer on the radio being like, what is this? What is this?
But at this point, we think that only Pierre Gasly has noticed the tractor.
Yes.
They're focusing on Pierre Gasly. However, to give him some grace,
hold on,
the red flag sign pops up. The red flag button indicator pops up on his steering wheel maybe half a second to 0.25 of a second time to react for red flags. But this is when he is obviously more focused on the tractor than the red flags, and which is when he starts getting angry over the radio.
And for those of you who drive in the wet, you know you can't just automatically put your brake on wet roads because then you'll literally spin out. We're told here in Australia if it's raining or if you see a kangaroo, if you are more than like 500 meters away, slow down if you can, but don't press on the brake rapidly. You have to slowly put your foot onto the brake.
Or not even slowly, take your foot off the accelerator.
Or you do not brake and you just hit the kangaroo at full speed.
Don't swerve. Swerving's worse.
Do not swerve. You grip onto your wheel and you do not swerve.
Because kangaroos can bounce anywhere.
Yes.
Mind you, a tractor's not a kangaroo. The tractor no, was but still. Very...
But I think that's road awareness that we're taught here because it's a necessity of living. Like you could drive to like your friend's house and they're 30 minutes out of the city and you could go through past some bushlands and see kangaroos. But anyway,
at this point, Pierre Gasly's,
you can see on his driver's cam that his red light pops up just as he's passing. This isn't released until afterwards, but we get the vision. So they all go past the tractor and they get back in and you see these images yelling
at... We only think that Pierre...
Yes, we only... Oh, no, I'm getting to that point.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So we only, at this point, from what they've shown us, we've only seen that Pierre has seen the tractor. We think that the tractor's been pulled out onto the track after everyone else has gone past and Pierre is there.
Or they just forgot that Pierre was so far behind.
Yes.
They thought, okay, that must be all the cars.
Let's talk about the flags for a second. So Pierre gets his red flag just before he's going past the tractor. As... This is now the race has been red flagged, one, to recover Carlos's car, two, because it is raining
a shit ton. It is raining really, really heavily.
Try not to swear, Katrina.
Yeah, it's literally bucketing down. It's heavier it was in Singapore. So it's raining at this point. The race has been red flagged. They're getting Carlos's car off the track and everyone's just waiting. As this happens, the footage is being released of each of the driver cams. Yeah, each of the driver cams. And we've seen Pierre Gasly yell at his, I think his social media manager, maybe it was his mum, I don't know, yell at a lady. We saw him get really,
his physio maybe.
We saw him yell at the people on the pit wall. And it's not yelling at them, but yelling at the situation.
You can tell he's frustrated.
He's frustrated, but not with his team.
Imagine like three of your car tires are slashed, but one's fine. You're frustrated.
You can't get insurance. Pro tip. But no, so it's released and we start to see the driver on boards of them going past Carlos's crash. Every single driver has in their camera vision of the tractor on the left-hand side. That does not mean...
We don't know this though.
No, we don't know this. So while we're watching the race, I'm on Tumblr and I'm just... Because everyone's got access... A lot of people have access to F1 TV. We don't. The F1 TV that we have in access in Australia literally just gives us the live timings on the app. We can't see any drivers on boards and we can watch historical races. But anyways, people on F1 Tumblr are live blogging and they're going onto each of the driver cams and posting up the videos on Tumblr themselves. And one of them that I want to draw attention to is they're like, oh, they say it's just Pierre Gasly's fault. It's not. All the drivers have the tractor and there's like a suite of posts and they've circled the tractor on the left-hand side.
So,
the safety car.
Mind you, going through some of the drivers, you can't actually see the tractor.
No, that's exactly my point. You cannot see it, but people have circled and gone, it's not when Pierre's passed Carlos's car. The tractor was there for all of them. Okay, I'll get to the point of them seeing it in a second.
Sorry.
So the people on Tumblr have gone through and gone, the tractor has been there for absolutely everybody. That's my first point. The second point is Pierre Gasly getting red flagged right before he passes Carlos. There is a specific screenshot of Sebastian's onboard as he is going past Carlos's car. Right before he gets to Carlos's car, it has not been red flagged. He has a green flag on his steering wheel. So he goes past a tractor with a green flag on his steering wheel.
No yellows, no
nothing. No yellows, but that's on his steering wheel. At the end of the race, they go through and talk about the whole situation because I don't know whether the drivers looked at the footage when it was in the red flag or they looked at it after, but I'm talking about the interviews they had afterwards. And almost every single driver that talked about going past that crash was like, it is unacceptable for a recovery vehicle to be on track when there are cars driving. It doesn't matter how fast, how slow.
But also, those are the interviews at the end of the race that you can hear people talking about the tractor. While the race is still, like, they're humming and harring about having it start, restart. While this is happening, you slowly hear the drip feed of people's radios as they pass the tractor.
Yeah.
Some you don't hear. So, for example, Max is absolutely silent. Max is first.
Leclerc is not silent, but they do not broadcast his radio at all.
Yeah, I thought they did.
They didn't broadcast it. I saw the replays on F1 Tumblr, but it did not happen in the live feed.
Because you played me the radio, didn't you?
I did. They did not play Leclerc's radio on the feed.
They didn't play Perez's radio. They didn't play anybody's radio who had a negative comment about the tractor, with the exception of Gasly. So it's interesting to note that the drivers may have seen the tractor. They may have verbally told the team that the tractor was there, because I highly doubt that the people on the pit wall knew that the tractor was there.
But the narrative posted by the media is not what they want to say. And I just want to talk about the elephant in the room here. It made both Eleanor and I extremely angry hearing some of the commentators' opinions on what they think is right, what they think is wrong, what should have happened, what shouldn't have happened.
They shouldn't have blamed Gasly.
At the end of the day, you should never blame a person. Even if that person has the wrong opinion, blame the situation of events. And I don't want to bring any more attention to it because there's been a lot of... Just go onto any form of social media, that there's a lot of hate regarding a couple of the comments made by the commentators. I don't think they deserve any more opinions than what they said. I'm just going to say one more thing. The ones who are blaming the drivers obviously have no sense of understanding of the risks anymore of what it takes to be in the sport, and or are literally there for the wrong reasons. I was going to say something a lot nicer, being like, this is why we love Jensen, and this is why we love Ted. This is why Jensen was the safety rep when he was driving.
And I think, okay, so I just want to bring one important thing when it comes to the driver's safety thing. Excuse the stutter. Hey, so there's the driver's union safety. I don't know what it stands for. It's the GPDA or GDPA. Whatever it is, it's the drivers, and they talk to like the FIA about like safety and their concerns or whatever. I'm sure it stands for something important. I don't know what it stands for.
Ripping driver people.
Sure. Academy.
Academy.
Association. Anyways, so the two people who are there to represent all of the drivers, safety concerns, opinion concerns, anything at the FIA, the representatives this year are George Russell and Sebastian Vettel.
Go Vettel.
Go Vettel. So they can compile every single comment, go to the FIA. That's how the porpoising issue got raised, is they were like, we're concerned about drivers' health and safety, compression of the spine. George was concerned about himself. And then Vettel's like, yeah, you know what? I like my back as it is. I'm going to talk about it. Anyways, the important to note, Jensen had a very humane response to the entire thing and kept on saying, until we understand the whole picture, I don't want to comment.
He was humane, important. But he was also unbiased.
He was very unbiased. And as a journalist, I understand that bias is a thing.
Yeah, he was unbiased until his opinion was pushed to be a certain way.
And I understand that as a journalist, you have your bias and you are meant to put forward an unbiased opinion. However, the issue is when you don't recognize you have the bias. And that's the issue that I think Eleanor and I have a lot of the commentators. They didn't recognize that they were biased.
No, not a lot. There were just a couple.
As in a lot of the issues we had, sorry.
There were a couple that didn't want to see things from the situation. They wanted to see things from their point of view.
Yeah. Which is only their point of view.
Which is why we absolutely adore Jensen and Ted Kravitz.
I just want to create some context. So I understand that the race was really early. For those of you who didn't sit through the entire 2.5 red flag period, they're talking about the concerns of recovery. So we've got the GPDA representatives of George Russell and Sebastian Vettel for 2022. The reason why there is such a hoo-ha around a tractor being on this specific track is because in 2014, the accident with Jules Bianchi happened when a recovery vehicle was on the track in a wet conditions under a yellow flag and he crashed.
But wasn't Jensen the GDPA?
Jensen was the GPDA or GDPA representative of 2014, which just goes to show that he actually took that role very seriously back then.
But which is why also his opinion was refreshing and humane and one of understanding. It wasn't one of judgment. It wasn't one of hatred. It wasn't one completely blindly.
It was driver to driver.
It wasn't one blindly backing the FIA. It wasn't one blindly backing the drivers.
Which side will get the opinion? That one will be right. I'll jump on that bandwagon. It wasn't that. It was his own personal situation on the situation.
I disagree. It was the driver's perspective because when he was talking, he said we.
He said we, and Eleanor and I pulled that up because we're sisters and we slip into the plural quite a lot. Like it's taken both of us years to slip out of the, oh, we did this on the weekend to the, I did this on the weekend. Jensen still does not see himself outside of the competition. Another reason why we want to talk about the safety directives is, as you guys would have been following, Vettel's last year is this year. So they always have to have two representatives in this safety association. I'm just going to call it that. It's easier than the acronym for my tongue.
Safety reps.
They have to have two. And typically what they will have is a more senior driver and a more junior driver to voice all of the opinions of the driver. So Eleanor and I were like, okay, I wonder who's going to do it in 2023 because Vettel's no longer there. We thought originally that Ricciardo would do it, but now Ricciardo's come out saying he doesn't think that he'll have a seat next year. So Russell's not going to step down definitely after this.
Well, no, Russell's not going to step down. And also it explains why he took Silverstone so seriously and why he got out of the car.
To Joe.
It makes sense. You're like, oh, Russell's a really good fella. It makes sense.
It shows that he's the right person to be this representative.
They're not going to take him off of the panel anytime soon.
No, and I think it's important to note that a lot of people treat health and safety as a novelty and as an easy career, and it's just there as a tokenism, but it's really serious. And when you get people like George responding like that, that's the response that every single person should have to safety. I don't care the monetary gains or losses. That's what everyone – you should always put human life first when it comes to a risky career. So, anyways, so George is going to be most likely now after this incident retain his safety rep seat for 2023. Eleanor and I were saying, who do you think will be the thing for 2023? And at this point, We've heard no driver's opinions at all on the tractor there.
No interviews, no nothing at this point. The radios weren't released. And Katrina was like, oh, who do you reckon? And Katrina was like, oh, I think Ricardo, if he was still going to be racing.
Which I think he would. But we now know he's not.
But he's not racing. And I was like, oh, I think maybe Perez would be a good bet because he's been driving for a long time. He's driven for different types of teams. He's driven with different types of people, different cultures that have valued different things.
Pre-Halo, post-Halo.
Exactly. He was also there in 2014. So I think Perez was a good bet. Anyway, comes to the very end of the race when everything's happened and they're going through the interviews. And man, if someone deserves it, it's Perez. Because Perez didn't really have to say anything. His facial expression and his hatred in his eyes said
it
all.
You could see. And you know what? If Perez isn't in that position next year, I think Carlos would also be a very good Carlos.
Gasly.
I don't think Gasly would actually be good in it. I think he'd get too emotional.
But sometimes you do need that.
But
you
also
need a balance.
I'm looking at people who raced pre-Halo and post-Halo.
Gasly didn't. Who raced pre-Halo? Who's still racing?
So it's effectively everyone who was there before 2016? I think they passed the ruling in 2015,
didn't they? A year after.
Did Rosberg have the Halo?
I think he did.
No, I don't think he did. I think it was 2017 that it came in. Can you have a Google. Anyway, so it's everyone who, let's just call it for 2017 for argument's sake, who raced, because the Halo was definitely there in 2018. We know that. So who was there pre-Halo? Verstappen was.
Was he?
Yep, because Verstappen and Carlos both started 2015.
Oh, Toro Rosso.
Ricciardo was there. Perez was there. Hamilton was there. Bottas was there. Alonso was there. Vettel was there. Stroll? When did Stroll start?
Good segue. The Halo was first trialed in F1 in 2016 before it became mandatory in the sport 2 years later in 2018.
So I was about to say, I remember Ricciardo's win in Monaco not having it.
So it became mandatory in 2018, but 2016 it was trialed. I don't know whether it was trialed on some cars or all cars.
Pre-season testing.
Anyway, but it became mandatory in 2018 with tests carried out in 2016 and July 2017.
So effectively everyone pre-2018, which pretty much precludes...
Stroll doesn't count.
Yeah, precludes Stroll, Leclerc,
started in 2018, I think.
Lando,
Zoe,
George, Zoe, Sonoda,
Albon, Latifi,
Albon,
Schumacher.
Yeah. So Eleanor thinks Perez. I think Carlos now. If you haven't seen his interview, Carlos's interview afterwards.
He looks so relieved that he crashed out.
I don't care if you're a religious person or not. You can see in that interview that he was genuinely concerned for his life. He was like, the words have been effectively paraphrased. And the quote is along the lines of, I knew when I had crashed out, no one could see me. My life was in God's hands.
But... I don't know who... If
he was very thankful that he was able to walk away from that. And you could see that he's relieved, which is why I think he'd be a good safety rep next year.
But that being said, I don't know who said it in the interview. I think it was Vettel maybe. People take the risk in driving in F1 that they might die. However, there are situations and events that can be controlled to make sure that it's not a necessary risk all the time.
One thing I also want to add up is George's comments on the whole thing afterwards. He was like, everyone keeps on referring to it as the Gasly incident.
Nope.
It is not the Gasly incident. It is the incident of a tractor being on the track. Gasly just happened to be the first person who was vocal about it. And the issue is he was summoned at the end of the race being like, yep, you've gone under the pretense of your speeding under red flags past this point where you effectively have to be able to stop. He was summoned to the FIA's office. And a real like salt in the wound is he got two penalty points and 20 seconds. He was already second last at this point. So a 20-second...
means nothing.
It's just...
It's a slap in the face.
It's a shame because it's insulting to you want to protect your own life and we're going to penalize you for it.
On a happier note, the crash aside.
Yeah.
Remember how we joked about Latifi getting a 5-place grid penalty and he started second? Anyway, post this race, when the race restarted, he was 10th.
I know. So Latifi got points.
He wasn't 10th. He became 9th.
We're going to go on a positive note now. Race has restarted.
Latifi is somehow 9th. Don't know how. He's done great. Schumacher at one point is leading the race.
Vettel pits.
Oh, no, no, no. Do you want to talk about the strategy? Because it was a rolling, they decided that they delayed the race. And they
have to go on extreme wets. Extreme rolling
wets,
start.
Wets, rolling start. And because of the rolling start, you can tell that everybody wanted to go on to intermediates because the rain was dying down. But however, based on strategy, there was no point with Verstappen and Leclerc.
The front five couldn't do anything.
No, they were stuck on wets. However, the bottom of the track could go into intermediates.
End of the first lap. Vettel goes to his engineers, yep. Apparently, before they got back into the car, he had discussed if he wanted to go into intermediates, he would just go into the radio, yep. So he went
Sneaky.
In, pitted, got intermediates. He jumps up from like 18th to the... Oh, also, before we go back, Albon also retired. His car died on him right after Carlos's did.
Wait, what happened to him?
Alex Albon's car just died.
His car just conked out. Yeah,
okay.
It was just like...
So he didn't restart. Okay.
And then he left the track and he went home because the red flag was taking forever.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have gone home. One weekend he shouldn't have gone home. Oops.
Anyway. So Vettel goes, yep, to his engineer, gets on intermediates. Because he's pitted first, he's last.
But Gasly follows him into the pits as well. Only him and Gasly go to change tyres.
Manages to then overtake like 6-7 people. Does really quickly. Everyone's gone, oh my God, Vettel's like doing well. Everyone else pits apart from the the front five. Another couple of laps happen. Then
the top five pit.
Verstappen goes in. Leclerc goes in. Perez goes in. Ocon goes in.
Hamilton.
And Hamilton goes in all at the same time. And Russell. They double stack the Mercedes, the Red Bulls. Schumacher is leading.
Schumacher hasn't pit. So you can tell at this point that Haas have gone into two strategies. Magnussen was at the back. They'll change him onto intermediate straight away in case it doesn't rain. Mick is in a similar position, so they were like, oh, in case it does rain, this we're going to keep you on wets.
This literally gets played onto the radio. They're like, we're going to take a gamble, Mick. In case there's a safety car, we're going to keep you on the wets and yellow keep flags. You at the front.
Anyway, the race pays off. He's winning. He's first for a lap. Then Verstappen comes out of the pit lane and he slowly makes his way up the grid.
Past.
And then he's now second. Anyway, there's one point where he's like going side by side with Verstappen and then, jumping towards the very, very end on Instagram. He's just like, not everybody can say that they led a race.
He ended up coming last.
But
with Gasly's penalty, he came second last.
Well, technically, did he come second last or did he come 16th?
He came 16th.
With two cars dropping out. Anyway.
He came 17th.
Whatever.
Anyway, so
quick math. But the gamble didn't pay off, but he did lead the race.
So now Mick has ticked off
lead a race, get points.
He's ticked off leading a race. He's ticked off getting points. Next one, we're going to get a Mick podium in 2023. I reckon he'll come third like once.
No.
He'll get a podium.
No, he doesn't have to get a podium.
He will.
His best place was sixth. He just needs to come fifth. Little baby Speaking goals,
of
baby goals.
Sixth place, at the beginning of this, Vettel in Suzuka has never qualified outside of the top 10. He started racing in 2007. We're talking about Japan, like not just Suzuka. We're talking about like Suzuka and Fiji. Fiji.
Katrina.
Not Suzuka and Fiji. Wrong. Suzuka and Fuji. Think of the apple. Think of the camera. Fuji.
Not Fiji.
Not
water.
The water. Not the island. Fuji. F-U-U-G. Fuji.
Fuji.
So Vettel has never qualified outside of the top 10. He somehow manages to qualify ninth, as we talked about the other day, because Norris had an awful run. On the other side of that, in every single Japanese race, Vettel has never finished outside of the top 6. So prior to 2022, his worst ever finish in a Japanese race was sixth. Guess who came sixth?
Was it Vettel?
It was Vettel. And if you haven't seen the fan footage of him and Alonso racing, there is 0.01 between. And there is a picture and it's like, hang it in the Louvre. Oh, it's great.
For context, so everybody had swapped tyres. We're going to talk about the front runners later. But anyway, so Jensen
This is another reason why we love Jensen.
Jensen Button goes on the radio and he was like, oh, I'd love it if someone just pits and gets a second set of intermediates to get, because you can see that. So you sure, at
this hold point, on, before 3 seconds going, are quicker ooh, sorry, a lap than
really,
everyone else.
That was really close to the radio. Sorry about that.
Radio.
Microphone. Oh, whatever.
Fiji.
Shut up, Katrina.
Microphone, microwave.
Microwave. Fridge. So at this point, Zoe has gone onto a new set of
intermediates. We have 15 minutes worth of the race left at this point.
So Zoe's gone onto a new set of intermediates because he said that his tyres were degrading. Zoe sets the fastest lap and he's not beaten for the rest of the race. So Zoe gets the fastest lap.
His first ever fastest lap. And he gets the fastest lap by so, 1/1000.001. His fastest lap was 1:44.411. The next closest fastest lap to him was Alonso of 1:44.412.
Anyway, our boy Zoe, he gets his fastest lap. Great.
Mick leads a race, Zoe gets fastest lap. And so, next time Mick gets fastest lap.
So people are seeing that Zoe set the fastest lap on a brand new set of intermediates, and Jensen goes on the commentary. He's like, oh, imagine if someone pits for a new set of intermediates. Doesn't matter where they are, they would be able to make a couple of places, potentially get into the points.
They would remake up where they lost. Yep. So if they were sitting eighth, they'd be able to go to last, come back to eighth, and then potentially go higher than that.
Yep. Anyway, he says that. And then one lap later, or maybe two laps later, Alonso decides to do the same thing. I don't know who commentates this, but then Jensen's like, oh, look, yeah, he's done what I said. Perhaps a couple of laps too late, but oh.
No, it was
good for the commentary, isn't it?
Yeah, it was along the lines of, oh, look, Alonso's pitted, and Jensen's response was one lap too late. Nothing else, and that was it.
And it was one lap too late because he raced Vettel towards the end. He made up back to his place. He overtook a couple more. But no, he was 0.0011 off of Vettel. Vettel still gets to hold his record of being worst place of sixth in a Japanese Grand Prix.
Do yourself a favor and go onto YouTube and find the video clip that someone's put up of Vettel and Alonso racing. It is so good. And there is a screenshot. Now, back in whatever it was, May, there was that meme of like Bottas swimming naked in like a river, and then he framed the picture and gave it to Hamilton. I want someone to frame that picture of Vettel beating Alonso one last time and giving it to him in Abu Dhabi. I want that.
On a different note,
yes, Vettel finished in the top six. Woohoo!
On a different note, now back to the top five. So,
Before we do that, we'll just do one more thing. A driver of the day was Vettel.
Vettel, he deserved it. Vettel deserved it. It was a very smart strategic call. And it was also a homage to him being in Japan.
One more
thing. A place that he loves to race in.
I don't know if you've seen this. What team got the fastest pit stop, Eleanor?
It's a great question. You're looking at me like I should know this.
Take a guess. I saw this on the train home today.
Williams? With Latifi?
Try again.
Aston Martin?
No.
Okay, so I've got a couple of teams left. Clearly not Ferrari.
No, it was not Ferrari.
Give me a hint. Don't give me a hint.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Ferrari.
Alfa Romeo.
No.
Okay.
AlphaTauri for Sonoda's pit stop.
Oh, that's nice.
I know.
I wasn't going to guess them next either.
Someone was like, this race has been full of surprises. And then there was a screenshot of AlphaTauri getting fastest pit stop. And they were like, who would have thought?
But also, as what I prefaced in like the comments. Nope, not the comments. What I prefaced in the description of this episode. An eventful but uneventful race at the same time. Now, talking about the eventful part and the uneventful but eventful. Interesting part.
We got 15 minutes to talk about the end of the race.
No, we don't.
Go.
I have 45 minutes to talk about the rest of the race because I said.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to, but you're free for another 45 minutes. Go ahead.
I got time. Anyway, so the top five. So the top five, when the race commenced again, it was Verstappen first, Leclerc second, Perez third, Ocon fourth, and Hamilton fifth. So even with all of the different pit stops, with the different strategies, Vettel coming up, all of that, the top five remained the top five.
Yes.
With Vettel and then below changing the stands. I'll let you go on.
Yep. So we are getting to this point and no one's making any places. Verstappen is just, you know what, he's racing in Russia at this point. He's driven so far ahead of Japan. He's jumped over the ocean, gone on to mainland of like Asia/Europe, and he's just driven to the North Pole.
No, he's just driven all of Japan, just doing laps of all
Japan. He's in his own little race. He's bored at the front by himself. It's quiet.
Leclerc is also in no man's land for a good amount of time up until his tyres start to degrade the gap between him and Perez is getting shorter and shorter because Perez's tyre degradation isn't as bad as what it is.
He was chilling like 4 seconds behind Max and then it suddenly goes from 4 seconds down to like, it gets to the point at some point it's like 22 seconds and Max goes, can I pit for fastest lap? And his engineers are gone. No.
Not worth it. But then Charles also goes onto the radio. He's like, what happens if we pit? Basically, Charles was in a hard position because if he pitted, he would come out maybe like
fifth or sixth. If he pitted, he lost the championship.
Fifth or sixth and not be able to make his way up. But if he stayed, he's also lost the championship.
Because Perez will overtake him.
Not the championship, the race.
Out of the running.
out of the running. Well, technically not out of the running because there was a whole confusion about what type of points were being given.
No, the issue is if Max pitted for fastest lap, Leclerc would have to pit for also fastest lap in order to make sure that he didn't get the fastest lap.
Exactly.
Because they can't use Carlos anymore.
But the saving grace was that Zoe had the fastest lap. So correct. There was hope for Perez. There was hope for Leclerc.
But then again, if Zoe didn't get it, it wouldn't have been a Red Bull person next. It would have been Alonso, which...
Exactly. And so there's a battle between Perez and Charles. Perez and by is slowly
battle, it actually is a battle. Yeah. Like it is. They were showing on the TV ages just Hamilton stuck behind Ocon. Nothing really happened.
Like, I was going, okay, let's talk about Hamilton.
Hamilton got closer. Hamilton's car's too slow. Hamilton's car's too slow.
The car was great, but the only thing that seems to work for the Alpine is the straight line speed, and that's happened to be the only real place that you could overtake easily in crappy conditions.
TLDR.
And that's where it left Mercedes behind. And
Hamilton, Red Bull equals Alpine, Mercedes equals Ferrari.
Unfortunately, Hamilton got so close. I think Hamilton probably would have been able to overtake in maybe two or three laps time.
I don't think so, because it was about eight laps where it was sitting between 0.2 to 0.8.
I think so, because of driver fatigue.
And Ocon was making mistakes
and
at the
Ocon
end.
Ocon was making more
Speaking
and more mistakes.
Speaking of mistakes, Eleanor.
I don't want to explain this.
I don't want to explain it either.
Sad.
Your turn.
Okay, I'll explain it. So,
I didn't talk about Carlos's crash. You can talk about Leclerc.
I talked about Carlos's crash.
I talked about all the safety stuff. I got angry. You can get sad. It's fair.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we love Charles. We also love Max, but Max doesn't seem to make mistakes as Charles does. And speaking of mistakes, Charles made a mistake at probably the worst time he could have made a mistake. It was on the final lap and they were going through one of the last chicanes.
The last chicane.
And Perez, at this point, for the last couple of laps, he's trailing with 0.4, 0.5 gap, sometimes as close as 0.1, 0.2.
And at the hairpin, it gets to the point where they are side by side. So it is actually very close.
And the only reason why he hasn't been able to overtake Leclerc is because Leclerc has made his car as wide as possible, but also taken the wide line, which has forced Perez to go the short line, which has given Leclerc
right of way.
Which has given Leclerc the upper hand when he does exit the corners or the turns.
Or if an incident was happening, and Perez crashed into Leclerc, because Leclerc had the proper racing line, every ruling would go in Leclerc's favour.
Yeah. So it's the last chicane. Leclerc locks up, bypasses the chicane, goes straight. He's ahead of Perez at this point, comes back out, still ahead of Perez, but a little bit far ahead of Perez, to the point where Perez probably can't overtake him as easily. He could still overtake him, but not as easily. Race finishes. It goes Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez.
However, race finishes. Then we get that amazing Alonso Vettel image. Amazing. And they're all pulling up at the end. And then, I kid you not, 2 minutes after all the drivers have pulled up, they announce that Leclerc's gotten a 5-second penalty, moving him from second down to third. Max won the championship. Because Max, in order to win the championship, had to have Leclerc finish lower than second if he didn't get the fastest lap. And that's what happened.
And Leclerc finished second. He finished third.
I think everyone, we're not going to go have a watch of the interviews afterwards. We're going to talk a little bit about
how the points were divvied up and how it wasn't full points. It wasn't full points, but it was full points.
There are a couple of funny memes about it. Of the Mercedes engineers and the Red Bull engineers reading the rule book because they didn't believe the ruling. That's hilarious.
But one thing that was quite frustrating is how quick did they take to make a decision on Leclerc's 5-second penalty and Verstappen, but how long did it take them to figure out to start the race in Singapore? There's just some discrepancy.
The general sentiment on F1 Tumblr was the inconsistencies. Now, from who I follow, there is not a single person that doesn't doubt that Verstappen had the ability to win the World Drivers' Championship.
Oh, he's got the skills. He's got the car. He's won 12 races.
Exactly. He has the skills to do so. But everyone is very irritated that he won in that way, because winning his first ever championship on what technically isn't a clean win would have been great. He's won it, but it's not. It's soured.
Less satisfaction.
And his second one has happened in the exact same instances. And I think maybe there's going to be conspiracy theories you read around being like, oh, they wanted to make sure that he won because Honda, there's people pulling the strings, and it's in Honda. And Suzuka's listed...
conspiracy theories. There's going to be conspiracy theories.
Yeah, Suzuka's listed 12 separate winners in the at the end. And you can see that both Perez and Leclerc knew that Max was going to win. And Leclerc says it in the interviews. And he goes, he could have won it in Singapore. He could have won it today. He could have won it next weekend. It was going to happen. But the general sentiment across F1 Tumblr was, why not give Max at least the opportunity to win cleanly? There is literally no difference to him winning in Japan, to him winning in America, apart from the teams tied to it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I want to
hear the commentary that comes out over the next week and more information. As more information does come out.
And it will.
As the week progresses. To hold off my actual opinion, but I just feel like if I was Max, I'd be happy that I've won, but also I'd be like, wait, how come I didn't think I won straight away? And if you don't think you've won straight away, then it's
other
too
people
difficult.
Are going to do the same thing. Yeah. And that's it. And it, I think it just would have been nicer, one for all of the drivers, two for Max to actually have a clean win, because he's won it deservingly, regardless of when it happened. But at least him then internally could be like, there is no shadow of a doubt. And I think it really helped that he was 27 seconds ahead of whoever crossed the line second. Mm. That really helped. But it does not help the narrative that people are going to go against him of being like, he doesn't deserve to win. Da, 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 da,
he does
da,
deserve to win. He's a no. damn good driver.
What I am saying is because it wasn't extremely clean cut, it's not going to help people online trying to troll him.
Okay, so we've talked about the big things. Now, what have we missed in our bullet points? Driver's parade.
Tick.
Hamilton and electric cars. Tick.
Tick.
Vettel's last race and he looks really sad about.
Yep. Also, please go, if you have TikTok, or if not, go on to Aston Martin's Insta Reels.
Oh, it's great. It is great.
Just please do yourself a favor and go and find the meme of Aston Martin putting up Vettel on a broomstick. Go watch it. It's funny.
But it's to the Mario Kart theme song. Okay, science crash, talked about that. Aquaplaning, talked about that. Tractor, talked about that.
Tractor.
Gasly and advert, talked about that.
Yep.
World championship. We haven't talked about the fact that Max won with a 113 point lead over the next person.
Perez.
There's only 112 points left available in the entire series,
and that's
so
if
won
he
by
does
one
not
point.
Get a that. But that's also if he
doesn't get a point,
doesn't get a single point. That's based on the fact that Leclerc and or Perez had to win every single race, every single sprint race, and then Max just decided to not rock up.
But hold on, not either of them.
Every single
one
race.
One of them had to win it.
Yeah.
Anyway, talked about that.
But once again, congratulations for Max Verstappen. Eleanor and I like Max here. We are in a Max support zone.
We don't dislike Max.
No.
I think he's a...
He's growing on me.
He...
But I think seeing how calm he was this year really helped.
I think we, both of us, were too quick to judge him last year.
See, the
because
thing is
media,
we are...
the media portrayed a narrative and we believed it. I believed it.
Yeah, but also because Eleanor and I are Ricardo fans through and through, there's always been a little bit of animosity there because Ricardo left Red Bull knowing that he would never get favoured over Verstappen.
True. Okay, Latifi got his first points and probably his only ever points for the rest of the season.
And one more point on that. So Latifi got his first ever points. He didn't get a single point. He got 2 points. Now, he has tied with Nyck de Vries for the amount of points won this year. So he is tied second last, with Hülkenberg being last, racing for the first three races this year on 0 points.
But also Latifi's tied last, having raced every single race, and Nyck de Vries only racing one race.
Correct.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding,
done
ding,
that.
Ding.
Vettel ahead of Alonso. Done that. Red flag. Done that. Legacy. Nope. Lengthy decisions by FIA. Done that.
Have we covered
everything? I don't think we've actually told you what the whole order was. The final order was Verstappen, Perez, Leclerc, Ocon, Hamilton, Vettel, Alonso, Russell, Latifi, Norris, Ricciardo, Stroll.
Wait, Latifi finished on top of Norris?
Yeah, Norris finished 10th, Ricciardo finished 11th. So Norris and Ricciardo finished where they started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Once
Sonoda,
again, hold on.
Stroll,
good on Ricciardo for
hold
keeping
on,
up with Norris.
Hold on.
You were talking about
I'm halfway
position.
Through the list.
Okay, fine.
Where are you up to? 12.
Stroll.
Yeah. Do you mean to say his name again?
Stroll.
Stroll, Tsunoda, Magnussen, Bottas, Zhou, Gasly, Schumacher, Albon and Sainz DNF'd. And let's talk about our predictions. Man, I'm amazing. I'm absolutely amazing because I guessed, well, technically I'm correct.
Mine's going to let you mine first because it's really
no,
wrong.
No. I've already built up the hype for mine. I guessed Verstappen first.
Correct.
I guessed Leclerc second. He technically was second.
If we talk about the finishing order as opposed to the final classifications.
Yes, he was technically second. Third was Perez. Yes, well, technically. I said Sainz fourth. I mean,
He started fourth.
So I'm going to...
You were right for three laps.
Give that a half mark. And my wild card was Ocon. And
who finished fourth?
Ocon came fourth.
Now let's have a look at Katrina's.
Dismal.
Sainz was first.
Wrong.
First to not finish. Verstappen second. Wrong. Leclerc third.
Well, you got,
I get
you got
a full
Leclerc
point for Leclerc
you
third.
You got Ocon too.
And I got Ocon fourth. My first one's hilarious though. My wild card was Norris. Have my wild card kept as Norris? Because for the fact that
you
after,
said Vettel.
No.
I said Vettel originally.
The issue is after all of that, everything, they changed cars that could have done what Alonso did and they still managed to have no net gain.
Maybe it's because
that's
Zach
impressive.
Brown, maybe it's because it was Zach Brown who was in Bathurst. Speaking of Bathurst, I saw the recaps. Oh, by the way, when you were on the phone last night when we had everything paused, I turned on the news and I don't usually watch the news.
Oh, I showed you that gif of the Craig Lowndes crash.
I turned on the news. They were talking about Bathurst and then it goes on to the commentary of someone talking about, man, you get these, what did he call them? You get these drongos. There we go. You get these drongos driving around like the
drongos equals moron.
Dumb. Yeah, driving around like they think that they own the place and then they crash out and ruin it for the rest of us. That was the dude who won the Bathurst. I paraphrased. Anyway, the next shot, they go into the F1 on Channel 10 News and say congratulations to Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I went on to ABC News this morning because when I get to work, I'll quickly open up my computer and while all my emails are downloading, I'll go read the news. And the first two stories that popped up was Gasly is upset with the FIA and then well done to Max Verstappen.
Yeah. So
I was like, this never pops up on the Australian news. But it was so nice to read.
The interesting thing was that Bathurst, it was Holden's last race, but it was Holden's last race because they've pulled out. I think it's something to do with the cars. I don't really know.
Okay.
But the people who won, Red Bull across their chest being personally sponsored by Red Bull.
Oh,
and who won the world championship driver
Red
driving
Bull.
Company.
And guess
Red
which
Bull.
Team did not win at Bathurst? Zach Brown's. Ha ha.
But hold on.
I really don't like him. He gives me the ick.
But the karma in the world is that Zach Brown is forever tattooed with Daniel Ricciardo. It's great. It's awesome.
It's funny.
Okay, so now I've ticked off all my bullet points. Now, next race is the Circuit of the Americas.
We will be sleeping.
Oh, it is
because
such
if it's
an awful
actually,
time
I'll
zone.
Tell you the live
well,
timings.
Okay, we've win. Okay,
so we are not American
Katrina
in case you can't hear
Katrina
by
and
our
I,
accents.
Katrina and I, again, if you've not figured this out by now, we're a bunch of hypocrites when it comes to complaining about time zones.
But you know what? At least we are open that we're hypocrites. We understand that we contradict ourselves and there is no shame in changing my mind.
Mind you, I think I'll go on the record and say I prefer the
night
European
races.
And the American timed races because that way it forces me to stay off my phone, watch the race, and then I can watch it as soon as I wake up, which is
all right, this
nice.
Isn't too bad. Okay, so free practice one, Friday the 22nd of October, 3 to 4 a.m. Not watching that.
Oh, but I'm volunteering that weekend.
That's Friday, Eleanor. We have work.
Yeah, I'm volunteering.
We have a baby shower.
No, it's not Friday. That's Saturday morning. That's Saturday morning. That's not Friday morning. I'm not watching that before work.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, so
Saturday,
October.
Sunday, Sunday, Monday.
Oh, damn it. Okay, so October 22nd, 3 to 4 a.m., I'll be asleep. Saturday 22nd, 6 to 7:30 a.m., practice two. Why
I'll
is it an hour and a half?
I'll be awake for that.
Maybe it's an hour and a half.
Maybe it's because of where the track is, the location, the temperature, the heat, the cars.
I can
don't know.
Definitely watch 6 to 7:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
You're
easy.
Never up at 6 o'clock.
Now the issue I have though is the Sunday morning of free practice 3 to 4 a.m. I'm going to a baby shower that day, and I have to do a decent drive to go to this baby shower. Not watching that qualifying. Once again, we'll be in the car driving to said baby shower.
Not watching that.
Not watching it between 6 and 7 a.m.
I wonder if we can figure out how to play it through our car.
The race is at 3 a.m. Monday morning.
I mean, I wake up at 5 o'clock every day for work. That kind of counts.
Yeah, but Eleanor, it goes for 2 hours. It finishes at 5. We're watching that Monday night. No internet for me. So you know what? Enjoy. If anyone's here, American, or you know,
Daniel Rick should be releasing his rodeo stuff, his American merchandise. So probably get your hands on that because he probably won't release anything else. And Katrina and I finally succumbed to peer pressure. I say peer pressure, I mean me. I was the peer pressure, and
You were waiting for a sale.
I was waiting for a sale because I am a cheap skate at heart.
Nobody peer pressured you into anything. Well, one, because there's no peers.
I'm not a. I can be. There's my no own plural. Peer.
It's just me.
I'm not a cheapskate. I just like getting you a bargain. You like a bargain. Yeah. Anyway, we finally bought Ferrari hats.
It's the buy Valentine's chocolate on the 15th because it's half price.
Do I do that? Yes. Do I buy
Christmas ornaments on the Christmas Boxing Day? After yes,
Christmas
we do.
Day because it's discounted. Yes, I do.
There is any no shame. None.
But now I've got.
There's only a shame if you let people hold the power over you.
Especially if I don't hold it over myself. Anyway, yeah. But what I mentioned last episode, I definitely, maybe I'm an oracle because I guess this, we are getting a Max Verstappen face pinned against the glass thing, Perspex ornament.
I think it was thing. FIA put up a picture on their Instagram and it was like,
world champion.
Before the race, it was your reigning world champion. It was a picture of his face smooshed against the Perspex. And then they reposted it, photoshopped his trophy from last year being like, you're 2022 world champion. It's hilarious. Good on the media teams. They are near our age. I'm living for it. We've talked for 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Thank you for listening if you're still here.
And I want dinner.
Well, I had dinner before we recorded, so jokes on you.
Lovely talking to you as always. We will see you
in America, but not really in
America. You know, end of October sometime.
Or probably November based on time zones.
Yeah, to be honest, and lack of organisation and preference of sleep.
True. Anyway, bye. Thank you, everybody. Bye.